as a springboard from what you were saying, one thing I also said, but I think I said this on another phone call, was that no man has the right to tell you how to run your business. Like, you guys who have your own businesses are doing it your way. And you have the right to do your business your way. And with all the cultural shifts we're experiencing, people are afraid to take that kind of stand. To stand up and say, "Well, just a minute, partner. This is my business, and if you want me to do this work for you, then you must do it my way." And you have that right. And so that was another thing I shared with Joe. Yep. Because we don't need to be people who are pushed around. And there's just a whole lot of pushing going on in our current culture. And there's a darkness in our culture that we have to contend with. And it's up to us to do our best to try to effect a change. It's up to us to pray that we can lead a quiet and peaceful life. Because when all is said and done, this is our home right now. This is where we live. And yet God has given us the means to change what seems like cultural waves. And really, all it is darkness. And all we are is light. And as we pray, our light dispels the darkness. So make sure that that's on the top of your prayer list, that you pray that we can lead a quiet and peaceful life. That is an enormous prayer leverage. I've been doing a lot of work on the subject of abundant sharing again. I never get away from that one, just like I never get away from agape either. And I'm so excited about it. So the subject of agape is far-reaching. And one thing I want to ask you guys to do, maybe you could even do this every day, but to read 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. I want you to become familiar with those two chapters, two of the most powerful biblical chapters, because they pertain to the Christian church, and they cover so many, if not all, of the aspects of the Christian walk. And you'll find that the Christian walk is rooted in abundant sharing, and also that the Christian walk is rooted in agape. Mm-hmm. And so that means that both are intertwined so intricately that you really can't separate them. I just wrote the October Artios, which is part two of one of the sections of 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. And there's a third part coming in November. But one of the things I stated in there is that, and I didn't state this part, but I'll get to the point. But I would encourage each of you to validate this. I know of only one Bible love. I don't know of any other love in the Bible but phileo. I have not been able to find it, and I'm specifically relating to Christianity and the seven church epistles. We are not commanded to fulfill the Old Testament. There are aspects of the Old Testament that are fulfilled by our Christian walk. In 2 Corinthians 8, there are two verses that pull together pretty much everything I just said. And I want to read them to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And the two verses are verses 7 and 8. You know, honestly, I could pick any verse out of 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 and teach full-blown teaching. They're each one so power-packed and so filled with God's goodness and knowledge and wisdom that I've never known two other chapters to be their equal. Verse 7, therefore, as you abound in everything. And there are several items that follow. Pistis, logos, gnosis, spoude, agape, charis. And that's the Greek. For those of you who know Greek, know enough of Greek, you recognize probably some, if not the meanings of every one of those words. Therefore, as ye abound in faith and utterance and knowledge and diligence, spoude, that's a cool word, boy. I know your registers are winding on that one. And in your, I'm not going to say it, agape, see that you abound in this charis also, this grace. It's just so fantastic. If you want to know where your time should be spent, and if you want to know where you should spend even more time, there's a nice list. Faith. So if you can abound in faith, that means there are things you could do to increase your faith. The Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, if what the Bible says is true, then you can also abound in utterance. Now, they chose utterance, but I choose logos. And the word logos means word. And when we see the word logos, we should think God's word. See that you abound in the word of God. Because that's really what it's talking about. It's not talking about your neighbor's word. And that word logos is translated so many crazy ways. I'm just telling you that logos means word. And I want you to abound. But if you can abound in logos, then there's things that you could do so that you are abounding in logos. And then we've got gnosis. Do you guys know what the meaning of gnosis is, Joe? Jose?
Knowledge, understanding.
Understanding. Isn't it to know experientially?
Epigenosis is.
Oh, epi, yeah.
Yeah, that would be a full understanding, but that means more like experientially. Mm-hmm. And so this gnosis is pretty in-depth. It's not just, you know, you can mix blue and red together and get purple. It's really a deeper understanding, which I believe that Pistis and Logos cause or allow. And so, as you can see, some of these already, right off the bat, are things that you're responsible for abounding in. And some of them are God's responsibility, which more or less take place as you are doing all of them. Because only God can give you the understanding. And we know that from Ephesians, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. And so the understanding is a unique situation where you're given two eyes instead of one. And also, you have a wealth of heavenly information available to you at all times. So you can abound in that, but you activate that by Pistis and Logos. And then in all diligence, and that's spude. Now that has to do with respect to time. In other words, the diligence is probably a decent word to translate that. But you don't want to waste any time. Let's just get down to this, okay? We really want to do these things with regard to a brevity of time. That's what spude means.
Do it pronto.
Muy pronto.
Ayer.
Yesterday. Okay. Now don't get me off track, Joe. I didn't do that to you.
Sorry.
I'm just kidding. Oh, Joy, you didn't see that one coming, did you?
Gee, Jerry.
No, you didn't.
Abound in the grace.
And did you want to teach?
Sure. No.
And in your agape to us. Wow. So that is 100% behavior. But you got to understand it. And we have spent years learning about, to me, the second most notable Christian subject. Wow. Agape. Well, we've spent years learning also abundant sharing. And so all of the efforts that we've put in over the years have been with regard to a brevity of time, learning as quickly as we could. hearing it as much as possible, working the logos so that we could develop our pistis in that area and our understanding. So we're to abound in agape. Now this is right in the middle, almost, of the two chapters delegated to the subject of abundant sharing. Do you find that interesting?
Okay.
I do. So we're told to abound in agape while we're being taught abundant sharing. Oh my gosh. I suppose, and I know people who've started this or done this where they've done exhaustive works on faith, probably logos, not gnosis. I haven't seen that. Definitely Spude, I've seen that. And then definitely Kadus, which is grace. And we know that grace basically means favorite. And I taught that some years ago in some seminar. It was something that you're God's favorite.
Yes.
And we live as favorites of God. He shows great favoritism to us. And we're supposed to abound in it. We're supposed to abound in the recognition, the faith, the word, the understanding, and the brevity of time, and the behavior of agape. We're supposed to abound in being favorites. Maybe favoritism epitomizes all of these characteristics because, you know, he says, see that you abound in this kadus also. They're all tied together. You're not going to separate them. It's like this big, juicy piece of fruit. Don't try to pull the pieces off. Just eat it all. And then verse 8, I speak not by commandment. This is kind of cool because he's not like laying down another 10 commandments here. He's just saying, here's why I'm telling you guys this. But by occasion, occasion is the word dia, means through. And the word forwardness is also the Greek word spude. So I'm not giving you guys commandments, but through the manifestation of brevity of time from other believers, that's what's prompting me to ask you guys to get on the ball. He was basically telling them to get on the ball. If you know about the Corinthian church, you'll understand that. Not only that as a reason, but also, and to prove the sincerity of your, I'm not going to say it, agape. Okay. So here we, once again, in the midst of one of the greatest dissertations on perhaps the most powerful heavenly and worldly leverage that you'll ever be given, abundant sharing, we are told that we're supposed to abound in these different things to prove something. And prove is a good word. We can definitely say prove. It means to try or to put to trial, but to really test and get it out in the open, to prove. The word sincerity is highly unique because it means legitimacy, but not just legitimacy. It's talking about legitimacy of birth. That's the Greek word. It means legitimacy of birth. What birth? Well, the new birth. And to prove the legitimacy of the new birth in you, of your behavior, of your agape. So we are to prove the legitimacy of birth of or by our agape. Well, I just was blown away by this, and I thought I'd share it with you. I just think it's so remarkable to feel and to see and to understand God like this. Because this is God. This is the way He is. And it helps us so much as we become more and more like Him. Thank you.